So we are reading again from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And thus ends the reading of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Becca. These past weeks and months have tested the limits for many people when it comes to hope. When we log on to social media or watch the news, we are saturated with stories of injustices, panic, pain, and death. Now more than ever, we need to remember where our hope lies. When speaking of hope, there's many things that we can say. In fact, there's many things that people have said over the years. Aristotle said, hope is a waking dream. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, we have always held to the hope, the belief, the conviction that there is a better life, a better world beyond the horizon. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, hope smiles from the threshold of the years to come, whispering it will be happier. Helen Keller said, optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Finally, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose hope. That's from Martin Luther King Jr. Charles M. Schulz, the writer and creator of Peanuts, said, a whole stack of memories will never equal one little hope. And while these are all great sayings, these all point to certain hope. These all sound nice, but I want to talk to you today about a real living hope. This is the hope that we have in Christ and that our Bibles speak of. David Wilkerson said it like this. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking or an optimistic outlook. Rather, it is a confident expectation based on the certainty of God's word that as he has anchored us in the past, he will anchor us in the future. Today I want to talk about hope, because hope is under attack. Hope is under attack from so many different places. Nothing can truly take away the true hope we have. It's not anchored in you, but it's anchored in the finished work of Jesus Christ. However, it's hard to remember that hope right now. It's hard to feel hopeful right now when so much ugliness is going on. It's hard to be excited for the future when we have been locked in our homes for the last several months. When we see displays of injustice sprayed across social media, riots, cities on fire, generally people being ugly to each other, not to mention our own personal, private tragedies and sufferings. Are you feeling anxious today? Is your heart gripped by fear of the future? I want to tell you today, you have hope. And it's not wishful thinking. It isn't wishful thinking, it's not an optimistic outlook, it's not Pollyanna, it's a confident expectation based on the certainty of God's word. It anchored us in the past, it will anchor us in the future. Checking your Bibles, checking Revelation, during the worst persecutions that happened, there is still joy and hope amongst believers. In our reading today, in Romans chapter 5, now there are four chapters that precede Romans chapter 5. And the books of the Bible, they were written, many of them written as letters. They weren't written in chapters. So Paul the Apostle, the one who's writing Romans, he builds something in his letters. He builds on topic, and in chapter 4, he's talking about how we are justified. You know, good theology provides true comfort. Good theology provides true comfort. It acknowledges that this world we live in, there will be suffering, but we have a hope that is greater than this world. Listening to a pastor talk about how he was making the same point, how important theology was. A lady comes up to him after service and she says, "Who is Theo and why should I care to know him?" Which is, you know, funny. Because theology, what it means is the study of God. Some people will say, well, theology doesn't matter. You know, only love or only the Bible matters. And that in and of itself is a theological statement. So when you say theology doesn't matter, you are saying theology matters. Because you are saying what your thoughts on God are. Some people will say Jesus is perfect theology. They're absolutely right. But if they mean by that, the only words in the Bible count are the red letters, they're absolutely wrong. Jesus didn't write those. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote those. All of Scripture is God-breathed. All of it is profitable for instruction, for rebuking, for reproof, so that the man and woman of God can be presented pure before the Father. Paul is making his case in chapters 1 through 4 to explain the hope we have. It's not in our behavior. It's not in our performance. It's not based on the stock market or how the outlook of things go. No, our hope is built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. He has been explaining the gospel of salvation through Christ alone, through faith alone, during this entire time. And in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," he had just talked about how we are justified by faith, "we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also access by faith into the grace in which we stand." We stand in grace. Verse 2 tells us that we stand, how we stand. And this is the key to our hope. We stand in the peace that is brought by the grace of God, and not our own performance. This is how we stand. When all the world is telling us to sit down, when our own anxieties and fears are telling us to shrink back, we stand in the grace of God. We don't visit it. We live in it. Because we have peace with God, we don't have a ceasefire. There's a very important distinction in that. In a very real way, the Korean conflict never ended. There was never a declaration of peace. There was a ceasefire. We have a demilitarized zone. If North Korea started shooting at us, we have a response right away if something like that should happen. Because there was never a peace that was declared. Now, on the other hand, United States and Canada, we have peace between us. If Canada started shooting at us, we'd be like, what is going on? This isn't right. We thought you guys loved the maple leaves and stuff like that. What's happening? We have peace with God. We don't have a ceasefire. What that means for you in your life, if you are son and daughter of Jesus Christ, through faith and repentance, you truly have a relationship with him, you don't have to worry about for the next shoe falling on. You don't have to wonder, hey, am I going through this because God is punishing me? He's not punishing you. He punished Jesus Christ on the cross in your place already.
Hallelujah.
If you've repented and put your faith in Jesus, you have true peace, not a ceasefire. Amen. You've been adopted into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. God himself lives inside of you, and you are a true son and daughter of God.
Glory to God.
Yeah. It's the assurance of salvation. And nothing can give this to you except the Holy Spirit. You're like, we may say to ourselves, well, I said a prayer one time, I'm good, I'm in the family, I'm fine, I can live however I want. You're dead wrong. The proof that you've done it is that you're still doing it. You are still living for Jesus Christ. You are still putting to death your sinful nature. When you die, do you know without a doubt where you will go? Not like I hope, not wishful thinking. Do you know exactly what happens on the other end of this veil of tears? If you say, yes, I am trusting Christ, you are living in God's grace, not under his wrath. And you live in hope, but the path of hope is the full assurance that you are right with God. You understand that we don't live under wrath. Without that assurance, you will think every bit of suffering is punishment. When trouble comes your way, and you're asking, is God punishing me? You have not embraced the full assurance of faith that is yours in Jesus Christ. This does not necessarily mean that you're not saved, But it means they're not taking advantage of the peace that comes from the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And today, I want to fill you with hope. I want to fill you with hope, because if you follow social media, if you follow the news, you will think, what hope do we have? And it's all a lie as a smokescreen. Because Satan can't take away the hope, he didn't give it to you, but he will obfuscate it. He will put it behind a smokescreen. The world, the word that is used here for hope, is elpis. And it means a proper expectation of what is sure. A proper expectation of what is sure. The very word itself doesn't leave any room for, I hope things may be good. It's, I have a confidence, assurance that I know that no matter what happens, I'm in the hands of God, and He will turn it for my good and His glory. There are so many false hopes that we have that can jade us. If I may, in a very funny way, I think of when I was a kid. There was this toy I really, really wanted. I don't want to say it was a doll, but it was a doll for boys named My Buddy. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Best theme song of any commercial ever. My buddy, wherever I go, he goes. My buddy, and me. And I wanted that toy so bad. I remember telling my mom, bugging her every second of the day, I want my buddy, this doll. It was going to make me happy. It was going to make me feel fulfilled. You know, I didn't say it like that. I did the more bratty kid way. And I had this hope, and I thought for sure this would make me happy. And Christmas came around, and I got the doll, and I hated it. I have never known a present I hated more than that doll. Because when I got that doll, it didn't make me happy. I thought it would be playing this song and everything, but it was just a doll. And I you know, was angry with my mom even. I can't believe it. It was a false hope. It was a false hope. You know, so many people, they mistaken, they believe that they have a true hope in God. But when that gets taken away, they find out they had a false hope. It's true hope in Christ. It doesn't go away. It can be shrouded. It can be forgotten for a while. But it can never go away because it's not based on you. It's based on Him. It's based on Him. Dear believer today, son and daughter of God, you look at the world, you're filled with sorrow. Would you remember the truth of the Scripture? That God is not asleep. He is not dead, nor does He sleep. The wrong will pay unless it's paid for on the cross. And those who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a hope that is beyond this world. It's a hope. This hope is not optimistic thinking. It's our blessed, living, eternal hope. But this hope's path comes through suffering, endurance, and character, according to the Scripture we read today. And I want to look at each one of those to see how one builds off another, because there's a hope, there's a fruit of hope that can only come through suffering, endurance, and character. Let's look at suffering. Why does it say we rejoice in our suffering? Suffering doesn't seem fun, unless you're messed up. Suffering doesn't seem like fun. Why does it say we rejoice in our sufferings? And Paul the Apostle, I mean, I think he was the authority on suffering. Sometimes you may have heard of Jesus getting the 40 minus 1 lashes and how bad that was. I'm not going to go into gruesome detail because we have kids in our audience, but it's bad. Paul had it twice. Paul was stranded out in the ocean for a night and a day. Paul had to fight wild animals in the Colosseum. Paul had all these things happen. He says, we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, there are all kinds of sufferings. On their section of sufferings, a lot of life fits into this. We have light supplements, like exercise. When I was running, especially long distances, it's not comfortable. It's a very light form of suffering, but it's very difficult. But I know that if I endure this little bit of suffering, it will produce character, and then it will produce endurance. Endurance will build character. And when I'm out running, I have a hope that I can do what I've done before. You have also the light suffering of exercise, of work, and of other things that are more annoying. Then you have, of course, the extreme sufferings of losing a lost one. being deathly sick yourself, dealing with all kinds of pains, problems, all other kinds of sufferings. And what I want to tell you today is that there is hope and rejoicing that can happen in all of our sufferings. The word for suffering here, in the original language, find my little cheat sheet here for pronunciation, is theopias. Theopias, it means oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, straits as in dire straits. But what it also means, and what it literally means, is pressing, to be pressed together. One of those really lame church signs that I'll see every now and again, I'm totally honest, I'm just going to say it, is it says, God squeezes us to see what we're made of. It's silly, it's kind of gruesome, it's true. Whether God allows or He is truly testing us, it will either, one, reveal, and if it reveals, hopefully, two, it will equip. And that is what is meant by rejoicing in our sufferings, is that our sufferings will produce something in us that not going through the sufferings could never have done. When people train, they will make conditions that will be at the very limit of their endurance. Now, when you're training, you'll probably have to adjust those limits. But you do so that you may become stronger and stronger. John 16:33. Jesus says to his disciples, I have said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
This is a precious verse in times of trouble. Because it tells us, reminds us, we have peace in Him. In this world, though, there is trouble. Make no mistake, in this world, there is trouble. I've said this quote before, but the world, life is pain. Anyone tells you anything different is trying to sell something. That's from the Dread Pirate Roberts. The Bible's not selling anything other than to know that we have peace that transcends this world. We believe in one who has overcome this world, who has overcome death. There's a promise here that you won't find in a lot of those little booklets that say 100 promises from the Bible. The promise here is that in this life we will have trouble, we will suffer, but our hope is built on one who is stronger than this world and who has overcome it. Suffering, if we are willing, can be the tool that God uses to shape us into someone who, when they wake up in the morning, the kingdom of darkness has sirens going off. Oh no, they're up again. Because it produces endurance. My second point. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We're told in our scripture that suffering builds endurance. It leads to endurance. I think of my long runs. If I have not prepared, if I have not had the right kind of endurance, I won't make them. I have to prepare for that. In the summer of 1974, the rumble in the jungle, Ali versus Foreman, was about to take place. Commentators were actually worried about Muhammad Ali. Many of us don't remember this because Foreman punched a lot harder than Ali did. And Ali, you know, his mouth was going. And people were worried that Foreman was going to get so legitimately angry, he might actually kill him in the ring. In the first couple rounds, it almost seemed that that was going to take place as Foreman was laying into Ali. But Ali was doing something. As he was getting into his guard position, he leaned on the flexible ropes. Foreman was pounding away with an incredible rap that I would not want to experience personally. And everyone was thinking, you know, Ali is finished. He ended up winning that fight. Do you know how he won that fight? When he trained, he didn't actually train to punch harder. He trained how to take a hit.
Amen.
He actually had his sparring partner just wail on him without him protecting himself. Good for you. It helped him. Because when he got in that guard position, he had the endurance to take the punches. And he leaned on that rubbery rope so that the punches would actually, the power of that would transfer into the ropes instead of into himself. Meanwhile, George Foreman wasn't ready to play the endurance game, and he ran out of gas, and Ali ended up beating him with a maneuver that is commonly called today the rope-a-dope. When we suffer, when we practice, it leads to endurance. We know this in physical training, but it's true in all areas of our life. When you lift weights, you are tearing muscle fibers, and when they grow back, that's how you get jacked. Your endurance for lifting those weights will increase. You know this mentally too. When you went to school, or those who were going to school, your teachers would make you do things that you didn't want to do, like learn. Sometimes it'd be uncomfortable, sometimes frustrating, sometimes overwhelming. Hopefully Becca doesn't mind me sharing this. I didn't even ask her. One time in graduate school, Becca came home in tears. It was so frustrating. It was just kind of funny because that's another form of suffering. So we go to school, the teacher makes us suffer. If you go to college, you pay for the teacher to make you suffer. And if they don't make you suffer well enough, you get angry because you paid for that suffering. Come on. But you see the value in that suffering because that suffering will make you wise. That suffering will build your knowledge. Spiritually, as we go through all kinds of suffering, it produces endurance. And endurance means that we can go through the same as before, if not greater, trials. It will produce in us character. It creates a sort of spiritual under armor, that when we wear the armor of God, it doesn't chafe as much. We have all the armor of God according to the grace of God that we can take up at any point in time. But we also need character, endurance, and a living hope, so we remember to take it up instead of cowering. The word for endurance here can also mean training. The word is hopomamine. I take this from the outline of the Bible uses in the New Testament. It's an incredible book. The characteristics, it means a characteristics of a person who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. Read the book of Acts. The Roman government in the book of Acts was desperate to destroy Christianity. They would kill those they could kill. They would torture those they could torture. They would minimize, they would objectify, they would make fun of those they could, and it didn't stop one single bit. They had an endurance, they had a hope and mommy that would not be deterred. We need people of God today who are not swerved by everything that might come about, but they would be like that bull seeing that red, nothing standing in its way. We are not swerved by our purpose, of our loyalty to faith and piety, by the greatest trials or sufferings. Why? Because suffering has built the endurance. Some of us want the endurance without the suffering. That's not how it works. Suffering builds the endurance. We always want easy ways out of this. But there's so much in our relationship with Christ that is not an easy one, two, three step process. Hearing David Wilkerson, probably one of the greatest evangelist prophets of the last era, speak, he says, this sermon alone is not going to help you in every life circumstance. You won't hear this and be like, now I'm good, I'm never going to struggle again. You will struggle, but you will endure, and that endurance will build. Do you have endurance? When times get hard, you will find out how much endurance you truly have. Only until recently in our culture, this culture has been, at least on the surface, pro-Christian. A new religion is taking over. And if you believe in the Bible that Jesus is who he says he is, you will be seen as part of the problem. I'm taught that. We have our anxiety of a pandemic. We see injustices, families being broken apart. If you have ever said Jesus is enough, that statement, it will be tested. It is being tested. It will be tested. This next part, I'm talking about endurance. The verse I read to you is from one of Jesus' prophecies about the end days. Matthew 24:13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is what endurance does for God's people. It prepares them. God is preparing his church. I don't know for certainty for what immediately, but I know for what in the future because I've read the end. I've read the end. God wants to prepare his church. Over the last decade, we've been seeing a falling away. This deeply concerns many people. So many people who say that they are a follower of Jesus Christ are saying, I no longer even believe in God. The lead singer of Hawk Nelson a couple weeks ago said the same thing, if you know who Hawk Nelson is. And a lot of people, they're very distressed about this, but when I read the Gospels, I see Jesus getting a huge following that on purpose will say a very hard teaching. A teaching that only his sheep can hear.
Amen.
And there would be a huge falling away. God is purifying his church. There is coming a time, if it is not already here, that you will not be able to just attend church because it's a good social event. Because it will cost you something. Do you have endurance for what is coming? Are you prepared for what he has in store? Jesus would on purpose give a hard teaching because his sheep hear his voice. And those who are not his sheep would fall away. You know what I'm seeing today? I'm seeing pride being exposed. I'm seeing those with the only thing that they liked about Jesus, the only thing they liked about Christianity was getting to call other people sinners. And now they found a new way to call people sinners, but they don't have to offer grace. So they fall away and they see their own morality, they see their own selves as the standard instead of Jesus Christ. We see pride being exposed. And for pride's sake, we see many people who are leaving churches. In all honesty, I don't believe they're leaving the faith because I don't believe they ever had the faith. You know, when you think about Judas, it's kind of a worrying thing. Because strip away hindsight. Judas walked with Jesus. He was taught by Jesus. He possibly performed miracles. He was somebody that people trusted to keep the money bag. So if you're being honest, you wouldn't have known that Judas was a snake. Disciples didn't seem to. That's why I do not declare somebody saved. I say if you have the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your life, test your own self that whether or not you are in the faith. Because I don't want you trusting in my word. My word doesn't mean anything. I don't want you trusting on event. I want you trusting in solely on Jesus Christ because he may be the only thing you have. We see this around the world in the persecuted church. Not only is it not in vogue to be a Christian, it could cost you your very life. Are you prepared? Have the sufferings built endurance? Because the one who endures to the end will be saved. Make no mistake, I am not preaching that you can gain and lose your salvation every day of the week. I'm saying, have you built your house on the true rock of Jesus Christ?
Amen. Amen.
Why do we rejoice in our sufferings? Because our sufferings build endurance, and endurance builds character. 2 Corinthians 8:2. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part. Paul in 2 Corinthians is talking about a people who endured an incredible tribulation, an incredible affliction, incredible suffering, and their extreme poverty because of their great joy and overflowed into a wealth of generosity. What we're talking about here is character. And character is only built through suffering and endurance. Have you ever heard the phrase, he's a real character?
Yeah.
We don't talk much about character today. We talk about justice, we talk about moral civility. But what about character? What we did when we spoke of someone's good character, what we meant was a sense of who the person was. Who are you? What makes you you? Truly, what better question is, what has God built you to be? Are you living up to that? Having a good character is not a right. It's something you work hard to get. What is building your character? The word for character that is being used here in our scripture is dokime. Dokime. It is something that happens after a trial. When your faith has been proven genuine, it produces in you characteristics that add on to who you are. One thing C.H. Spurgeon, great preacher of old, was suspicious about was people who only in times of trial wanted to be with Jesus in heaven. Of course, it's understandable to want to escape suffering. But he was suspicious of that because, you know, what do you truly want? Do you just want to escape suffering or do you want Jesus? If you want Jesus, then it's not only in times of trial, but it's in times of great plenty And in times of joy, that you realize that it's not enough. I still need Jesus. The story goes, Ernest Shackleton, when mounting his expedition to the Arctic Circle, placed an ad in one of the New York newspaper. It said this, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honored recognition in case of success." I read that and I say, no, thank you. Apparently, 500 people responded to that advertisement and said, that sounds awesome. Let's fight some polar bears. If God was to write an ad, he'd say, sons and daughters wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter treatment, long months of family and former friends who won't talk to you, constant danger, safe return in this life, absolutely not guaranteed. Safe return in the next life, absolutely guaranteed.
Amen.
Honor and recognition known only by the only one who it matters.
Amen.
When we produce character, it reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It is our character that sees us through times of suffering, through times of trial. I think of this song from Jenny Owens. It's titled, If You Want Me To. The opening lyrics say, the pathway is broken and the signs are unclear. And I don't know the reason why you brought me here. But just because you love me the way that you do, I'm going to walk through the valley if you want me to. God is calling each and every one of you to an incredible adventure. It is not always going to be safe. He's going to call you to things that will maybe alienate you from your family. He will call you to stand for things that will make you hated by all. Jesus, in fact, said there will come a time where the very people who kill you will think that they are doing a service to God. God wants you to walk through that valley. And when he asks you to walk through that valley, you might feel it's a scary, it's a dark, it's a valley in the shadow of death. But I will walk through that valley if you want me to. With much bluster, I remember growing up, and so many people during camp, when the evangelists would say, who would die for the Lord? Everyone's raising their hands. But they couldn't even that night, live for the Lord enough to be nice to the people around them. The valley that God is calling you to, and you know, I wonder, I remember thinking at the time, would I be ready if God calls me to such a thing? By the grace of God, I will, because he's led me through suffering. He's led me to build endurance, and he's given me his character. There's this story about this teenage girl coming from home, being bullied. She's in tears, and she tells her mom all about these things. She says, I can't go on anymore. She is broken. And her mom tells her the story. She takes a pot of water, puts it on the stove, boils it. Boiling water is going in there. She puts in a carrot, waits a while, takes the carrot out. She asks her daughter, what was this carrot like before it went into the water? She's like, well, it was firm. It was tough. It wasn't old. It wasn't flimsy. It's like, when he took it out of the water, what happened? It was soft. It just fell apart. Her mother said, your trials in life, your sufferings, you can be like the carrot, going in strong, sturdy, but coming out of it weak and soft, unable to endure anything else. You may be like Dave. She takes an egg out, she puts it in the water, waits 8-10 minutes, that's how you make a good boiled egg, by the way, takes it back out, cracks it open, she asks her daughter, what was the inside of the egg like before I put it in the water? She says, they were gooey, they were soft. And she says, okay, what are they like now? Well, they're hard, it's a hard-boiled egg. She's like, you go through these trials, you can go in with a good, soft heart. And all the cynicism in life can make you hard. Can make give you a heart of stone instead of a heart of flesh. Finally, she takes some instant coffee. She puts it into the boiling water. The aroma fills the house. She ladles out some, puts it into a cup. And asks her daughter to drink it. She says, well, you know, it tastes like coffee. That's because when this coffee was put into the water, it changed what the water was. You can go tomorrow to school And you can decide to become hard, you can decide to become soft and able to deal with trials, or you can change the situation. And that is the history, the legacy that Christians have lived throughout the centuries. From going through incredible persecution to being the religion of Rome, from going through the different trials and injustices to those who can stand up for those who can't speak for themselves and change the situation. But most important, we can go home and we can love our families. Somebody asked Mother Teresa once, how do you change the world? She said, go home and love your families. You know, every journey starts with just one foot in front of the other. When I have a hard run and I don't want to do it, I just remind myself, the hardest step is that first step.
Amen.
Through all these little things that make something big. It is through suffering that builds endurance, that gives us the character of Jesus Christ, who being very natured with God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but humbled himself, made himself nothing, humbled himself to the nature of a servant, to death, even death on the cross. Let's have that character. Worship team, you can come up at this point. I wish to end the way I began with hope. Alpes. Actively waiting for God's fulfillment about faith. How should you act in hope? How should you act in hope? Now that you know that we have this living hope inside of us, how should you act? One, remember this hope cannot be destroyed. If you feel like you are losing hope today, remember, this hope can't be destroyed. It can be once again hidden behind a cloud, but this hope isn't destroyed. And know that if you are having feelings of hopelessness, you don't have to feel like, well, I'm not a very good Christian. Because Scripture is filled with people who've forgotten about the hope that they had in Jesus Christ. The hope they had in God. One specifically is a man named Asaph who wrote several of the Psalms. In one of the Psalms, he says, I know God is good to those who hope in Him. He's good to Israel. But as for me, I almost fell. I almost stumbled. In other words, I forgot about the hope I had because I looked at the prosperity of the wicked and I say, God obviously doesn't care. But he's like, then I went to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Is it unsurprising to you that so much of the thrust of what's been going on, I'm not saying right or wrong, has kept people away from church? No wonder there's such a prevailing feeling, atmosphere of hopelessness in our society. Nobody's coming into the house of the Lord. And I don't mean the physical building. I mean in that true place of worship where we can access the throne of grace. The throne of grace with confidence. Where our hope truly lies. Remember, this hope cannot be destroyed.
Amen.
Two, God is not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. Today, are you losing hope because you're like, I've messed up. I've messed up bad. I've sinned in areas I never thought I would sin in. Maybe you feel like, well, I'm a stage of my life. Can God really do anything through me? I'm too young. I'm too old. He's not through with you yet. The one who began a good work will carry it to completion.
Amen.
I guarantee it.
Amen.
It's up to you whether or not you will participate in it. But who began a good work will carry it to completion. Third, since you live in hope, this is probably one of the hardest commands I find in my personal life. Jesus said, do not worry. Do not worry. This last week, can I be vulnerable with you?
Amen.
I was kind of having a hard time. I was looking at social media, and I decided I was going to take a break from social media for a while. And I saw what everybody else was seeing. I saw death. I saw fire. I saw hopelessness. And I saw people cheering on death, cheering on hopelessness, cheering on anger and hatred. And I'm like, what is this coming to? And then I remember the words of Jesus Christ, do not worry. Look at the lilies of the field. Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as well as they were. And I remember that he who began a good work was not through with me. He was not through with Algona Faith. He was not through with Algona or Kossuth County. He's not through with Iowa, America, or this world just yet. He's preparing his church for a mighty work in the future. And our future is brighter than our past. Whether that is we get caught up in the rapture, or whether God waits and we have time to tell others of the hope that we have. The fruit of hope only comes through suffering, endurance, and character. There is no fast track. The person who has true hope is the one who has tasted desperation and has known that its bitterness is nowhere close to the sweetness of true hope. There's no fast track to this. That is why it's so important that we learn from those who are seasoned in the faith. Today, maybe you think, well, I'm too old. Nobody can learn from me. God is paving the way for a new generation. Of course he is. But every new believer needs to hear from an experienced believer.
Amen.
One who's gone through the suffering, the one who has built endurance and now has the character of Jesus Christ. They need to know, how did you get through a similar time? How did you get through struggles that made you despair of life? But you would say, our light and momentary troubles, you'd say with Paul the Apostle, our light and momentary troubles are producing for us a crown of glory that far outweighs it all. So I hear the command of Jesus this week, and I say, do not worry. Do not worry. I'm going to end before we do our last song here with this last quote. What I mentioned in the beginning. From David Wilkerson. He was just some guy who God told to go into the inner city to preach his gospel. And there was a gang leader there named Nicky Cruz. And Nicky Cruz threatened to chop him up into 1,000 pieces. Or a million pieces, I can't remember how it goes. And David Wilkerson told him, you go ahead and do that, and every single piece will scream, Jesus loves you. David Wilkerson started what would be known as Teen Challenge, a supernatural ministry that takes those who have a history of drug and alcohol abuse, of all sorts of problems, and tells them the good news of Jesus Christ. I have a good friend who fell from the path. He was that sheep who wandered away. Fell into all kinds of things. And he had said in his life that his... He had probably said in his life, God can't use me anymore. He went to Teen Challenge. He realized God can use him. He's in the ministry today. Him and his wife are doing incredible things. Preaching the Word of God. David Wilkerson said this about our hope. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. Or an optimistic outlook. Rather, it is a confident expectation based on the certainty of God's Word that as He has anchored us in the past, so will He in the future. This week, might you remember, may you tell others, may you live in the joy that comes from the hope that we have. Thank you very much. Would you join us in our last song today? Those who are here, I will end this in a blessing. Those who are watching online, we'll be finished in the last song.